The following audio is from Redemption Church. More information about our church can be found at www.redemptionchurchlacombe.org.
Good morning, church family, again. How are you? Hope everybody's doing well today. Just had a wonderful time of worship. Thank you, Andrew and Brett. And last week, we learned about the suffering of believers, trials that we go through, various different things that we go through, and we learn that things don't always go the way we want them to. We learn that oftentimes things don't go the way we want them to. As you heard, Pastor Byron and his family are still out this week. They're still quarantining due to this illness, this virus. Keep them in prayer. We also learned that the comfort that we receive from the Lord is the same comfort that we could comfort others with. When Gail and I had the COVID virus in our home, we very quickly learned the needs that people have when they're homesick and they can't do for themselves. And so we're able to now use that experience to minister to others, to reach out to others, to make sure meals are provided, to see to it that they have the things they need. And so that's what we learned about last week, about comforting others through the trials, the same things we go through. But this week, as I prepared to come up here today, I came up here and Ed found me on Wednesday when he came in, up here with nobody in here. And I was thinking through all of you that sit out here and all of you online, and I was thinking about how we come here week after week, tune in online week after week to hear the Word of God, to have an experience with the Lord here, to meet with our brothers and sisters in Christ, to hear the Word, to worship God together. And I began to wonder, even in the midst of the amens on points and the heads nodding on agreement, what kind of effect is that truly having on each of us as we sit here, as we listen? Do we get something, have an emotional moment where we experience this conviction or this something in us that says, wow, I've got to change this or I've got to do that? And I began to wonder, is that where it stays? Does it just stay there in the seat? And we go on with our everyday lives. Now, normally, I'm out here with you. Pastor Byron's up here preaching, and I'm right there with you. And there are times when, whether in my own personal quiet time with the Lord, or sitting here or listening to a sermon online, where I may tune out or lose a portion of what was going on, or really grasp something and really be deeply convicted in my soul and my spirit, but not do anything about it. Just leave it there. And want to, but don't. And that's where it stays. An emotional moment, no real change. And so as I stood up here, I thought about you all, and I thought about, from a pastor's heart, James, we're going to see, has a pastor's heart. Pastor Byron, too. Our desire for each and every one of you is that you truly grow in Christ. That one, you know Him as Lord and Savior. Without that, all that you do is meaningless. It's pointless. Has no eternal effect. But we want you to be changed by, not by our words, but by the Word of God. The Word of God has the power to change. The Word of God has the power to save. And the Holy Spirit within us moves to bring about that change. And so, today we're going to be in James chapter 1. You could turn there now if you'd like. We're going to be in James chapter 1, and we're just reading a few verses in there. We're going to go to a few other places. We're going to be in verses 22 to 25. And James is going to challenge us to not just be hearers of the word, but to be doers. But to be doers of the word. So let's go ahead and let's read James chapter 1, verses 22 to 25. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being a hearer who forgets, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. So James has some challenges here for us today, but he talks about blessings as well. And so James is going to challenge us to hear and do the word. We see that in verse 22. We'll jump there. Be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. He wants us to be hearers of the word. And in context here, I want you again to recognize James has a pastor's heart. This is the half-brother of Jesus. He was born to Mary and Joseph. If anyone knew Jesus, I would say James does. And you see a lot of parallels in James and in his letter to a lot of the teachings of Jesus. A lot of parallels. But he's got to pass his heart, and he's telling the people in the letter here to do these things, not just willy-nilly. He's actually diving into some serious meat here. James doesn't play around, and what I love about the book of James, the letter, is that he gives word pictures. I like pictures. If anybody else in here likes pictures, you get it, because when you see an illustration or get something that you can tangibly look at or touch, smell, not just hear, it makes more sense. You could take that home with you and remember that. And so James is really good about that. And in the midst of this, he goes through like multiple sermonettes in these short chapters that he has. He begins, let's just do a quick survey, going back to the beginning of chapter 1. He starts off with counting it all joy when you go through trials. What? And he's challenging them to look forward to what God's doing in your life, to the maturity, to the growth that he is giving you in those trials. He continues on. He tells us in verse 5, if you lack wisdom, ask of God. But don't ask like a double-minded man who just flows with the waves. Ask him. Single-minded. Like, you know that he has the power and he's able to do these things. James is challenging them to ask for wisdom. He's also telling us of the God who is the great leveler or the great equalizer. Even, it doesn't matter if you're rich or poor, we're all like, our lives are like grass or like a vapor. They just poof and they're scorched under the sun. He also goes on, and he tells us in verses 13 to 15, we talked about this a little last week, about when temptation and desire meet, they conceive and they bring forth death. He's not talking light stuff here. He is not talking light stuff. He tells us about how God is the one who is the perfect giver, the giver of all good gifts. He doesn't give us evil. He doesn't tempt us to sin. He's the giver of all good gifts. In the passage immediately prior to this, to being doers of the word, he talks about putting off our old ways. I'm just going to read that real quick because it's good. He tells us, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. James is not talking fluff when he says, be a doer of the word, not a hearer only. He's talking some serious meat. And he continues on. He talks about what pure and undefiled religion is. He talks about not showing favoritism to people. He talks about faith without works is dead faith. That the evidence of our faith is the works that we do. Oh, chapter 3. If you got a problem with your tongue, with the words that you say, read chapter 3, because he tells us how the tongue will set the world on fire. How much damage the words that come out of our mouth can produce. He warns us against worldliness and the things of the world and tells us it is the desires within our own selves that cause fights and struggles, and it's the passions within us that are at war. And he calls them adulterous people because they're seeking to spend the things that they're asking God for on their own passions, on their own selves. He talks to them in this letter about boasting about the things, our own plans about tomorrow. Oh, tomorrow I'm going to go do this, I'm going to go do that, but we fail to seek God in it. And it just goes on and on and on with this. James does not play around. He's got a pastor's heart. He speaks the word of truth and he speaks it boldly. And so when we go back to James chapter 1 and verse 22, and he says, "But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves." He's not playing around. He's not saying just be a doer of the fun stuff. He's not just saying be a doer of the easy stuff. He's not just saying just ride it out, come to church, punch a ticket, good job. No. He's challenging the readers and he's challenging us today to do the hard stuff, to do the words that God has for us to do without excuse, not deceiving ourselves. So, wait, we could deceive ourselves? I thought I knew myself better. I thought I got this. Oh, don't be mistaken. We can deceive ourselves. And James tells us in a few verses here, three times, he tells us in verse 16, "Do not be deceived, my beloved brothers." He tells us in the context of where we are, verse 22, "Doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves." And verse 26, "If anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his heart, this person's religion is worthless." So as we sit here today, and as I normally sit here week after week, James is reminding us that we could, in fact, deceive ourselves thinking, "I've got this. I hear it, Pastor. I know what you're saying. I believe it. Amen." And go on and just live my life the way I want to live it and be completely deceived, not doing the things that the Lord has called me or us to do. And so it's a warning not to deceive ourselves. Don't lose sight of that. Don't lose sight of that. The word of God is powerful. So we come in week after week. Pastor Byron prepares week after week to feed us with the word of God, the living word of God, the real deal. This is God's word. This is not just some book. This is not just any other book. It is the book that God gave us. And we're challenged by the Holy Spirit as we sit there. It's not the words that I speak or Pastor Byron speaks, or it's the Holy Spirit that convicts our hearts. The Holy Spirit is the agent in our life, the only person in our life that can provide change in our life. And so James tells us not to ignore the word or to forget about it. He tells us to look into the mirror of the word, verses 23 and 24. Remember, this is not a list. This book, I can't tell you how many non-believers I've talked to that believe that this book is just a list of to-dos and not-to-dos. Not only that, but they believe that this book actually stifles a person and what they want to do. It restricts. Oh, no. This book, James tells us, is like a mirror. Like a mirror, you say. So he tells us here, in verses 23 to 24, "For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently," not just casual glancing, but intently at his natural face in the mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away at once, forgets what he was like. Okay, so I told you James is into word pictures, right? Well, I'm going to give you an illustration today. I've got a mirror. Now, with this mirror, I can look at myself, and it's a real mirror. I can look at myself, and I'm reminded when I look at this mirror how my wife really, really wants me to trim this beard. She tells me how she likes my beard short, which for almost entirety of the time we've known each other, I didn't even have a beard because I was in the Navy. So she was used to my smooth face, but I retired, grew in a beard recently. She doesn't like it. She says, this is my homeless look. It's really getting scraggly. And so I know when I look at this, I could trim this. I could make it nice the way she wants. But have I? Do I still have a beard on my face? This morning I looked at it. I cleaned up the bottom a little bit. It was starting to grow down my neck. I did something, but I didn't trim it the way she would like it to be, right? I did shave my head because that was starting to look pretty bad. But I looked in the mirror. I could see it. But the reality of that is that I really did not want to do what the mirror revealed. That's the reality of it. And I'll tell you what, God's word is even more powerful. God's word is a light. And it shines. So this one here really reveals those things in my face that need to be taken care of. I'm glad I'm a guy and I really just don't care. You know, but if anybody's ever done auto body work or ever done drywall work or fine work, you know that when you shine a light on it, it really exposes the flaws. The word of God is like a shining light and a mirror, and it just shines and it shows us, it reveals to us those very things that God wants to work in us and change. But do we want to? Or the idea that James is talking about here in forgetting is not so much that we just walk away and, oh, I forgot, but it's that we have the opportunity at that moment to make a change. We chose not to. We chose not to be a doer of the word in that moment, but to walk away and forget. See the difference? I chose not to trim my beard. I could have. I had every opportunity. I had the clippers right there. I had the mirror. I had the time. But I chose not to. And so we're told to look into this law, that the law of God reveals my sin, and the Holy Spirit puts within me at that point a place of decision. Do I or do I not do something with this? Every week, every sermon, every lesson, every time we spend time in the Word with God, we're faced with a decision. Do I trust Him? Do I do what He asked me to do? Or do I just move on and go on and do what I want to do? God really wants the Word of God to penetrate our hearts and our souls and to just truly get into our lives. You know, another way we often forget when we're in the Word of God, when we're hearing the Word and being convicted, is we hear it and we go, that's a good word. I hope my wife hears it. Or I hope my husband hears it, or my son, or my daughter, or my friend hears this, because that'll be really good for them. When the Lord is speaking to you in His Word, He is speaking to you. And He wants to change you. And so hear the Word of God and see what He has for you. not for the people around you. So, as you see, the recipients of this letter that James is writing to would have understand this idea of listen or hear and do because of the Shema. Now, the Shema is, and we put up the verses on the screen, the Shema comes from the first word of these verses here. Shema is the Hebrew word for our English gloss of listen or hear. So, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. The Israelites would have known this because they recite this as a prayer. Now, the meaning of the Shema, I'm going to read this little paragraph here for you. The meaning of the Shema, the opening line, hear and listen, O Israel, does not simply mean to let the sound waves enter your ears. Instead, the word hear or listen means to allow the words to sink in, to provide understanding and generate a response. In other words, in Hebrew, hearing and doing are basically the same thing. But how should Israel respond to the hearing that the Lord alone is their God? To love the Lord your God. That's their response to knowing who God is, to hearing, to doing, is to love him. So in context, love isn't simply the warm, fuzzy, emotional energy that we feel when we like somebody. In the Bible, love is action. Love is doing. You love someone when you act in loyalty and faithfulness. For Israel, to love meant faithful obedience in terms of their covenant relationship. But God. You see, every one of us has a problem. That's sin in our lives. We're separated from God because of the sin in our life. And God saw and loved us, loves us, and he gave, he did, he acted, he gave us his son. He loved us, the world, each and every one of you, that he gave his son. His son was obedient to the Father, even to the point of death, Philippians tells us. God, in love, is a doer of his own word. He acted upon the very love that he has for us. And he wants us to do the same thing. So, I want to just take a moment here, though, and recognize that some of you in here may not have that relationship. Some of you online may not have the ability to be a doer of the word because no matter how much you do, no matter how much you read, you're just stacking up works. You're just doing stuff. You're being religious. The Bible wants us, God wants us to know that he wants a relationship with you, and he sent his son to pay the price, the penalty for your sin so you could know him. So if you don't know him today, if you have not surrendered your life to him and trusted him, confessed your sin, agreed with God that you're a sinner, repented of your sin, turned from it, go the other way, and trust him alone as Lord and Savior, today's the day. We're not guaranteed another breath. Not a single one of us is guaranteed another step, another morning, another sunrise, sunset, another birthday, anniversary, retirement. We're not guaranteed any of that. Don't wait. Your life is too precious and too short. Surrender to him today. So when we look intently into the perfect law, it sets us free. The law is perfect and sets us free. Take a look at verse 25. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. Wait, what? The law sets us free? I thought the Bible, the law, was restrictive. Like, you can't do this and you can't do that. Oh, I'm going to put some verses up for you so you don't have to look them up today. Galatians 5:1 and 13-15. For freedom Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. Context there, the Galatians were believers. There was this church set up, and there were Judaizers that came into the church, those who wanted the Christians to do the Jewish things to be Christians. They wanted them to be circumcised. They wanted them to follow the Sabbath. They wanted them to obey all the laws that the Jews did, then they could become Christians. But Paul is telling them, for freedom, Christ set you free. Stand firm in that freedom, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. They were in bondage before in their works and their sin. For you were called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, watch out that you are not consumed by one another. So in other words, we are free to do what is right, not what we want. You get it? See, when we're walking in our own ways and we're sinning and doing our own things, we're in bondage. We're enslaved to that sin, to that way of life, to the old man. But when we're in Christ and we surrender to Him and we do the things that He has us to do, we are free to walk righteously, to do the right things. That's freedom right there. We are free to do what's right. We are no longer slaves to sin, but to righteousness. Romans 6:15-23. You can write that down. We're not going to go there today. Romans 6:15-23 talks about how we're no longer slaves to sin in Christ, but to righteousness, to doing the right thing. So we had our memory verse this morning, Psalm 19, verses 7 to 11. Let's go ahead and take a look there. We're going to review those real quick because here James is talking about the perfect law, the law of liberty, and that he who does or acts, he will be blessed in his doing. Now, Pastor Byron talked all about the many blessings and rewards that we get from the Word, from the Word of God. So Psalm 19, and we're going to start reading with verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The law of the Lord revives the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. I remember when Pastor Byron taught about that back a couple of weeks ago, and he went through multiple precepts upon precepts upon precepts in the Proverbs and showed us how we can rejoice in them. They could bring wisdom. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. It opens our eyes to those things like that mirror, right? The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The rules of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. They're more to be desired than gold, even much fine gold. How much energy, church family, do we spend seeking after the wealth and the things of this world? The word of God, the law of the Lord, it's more to be desired than gold. It's way more valuable than anything this world has to offer us. It's sweeter also than honey and the drippings of the honeycomb. I was just talking to someone this morning in the lobby about we want to start raising bees and producing honey. I love honey. I do. I use it in my coffee. I use it in my oatmeal. I use it in a lot of things. It's the sweetener I like. And so we want to have our own honeybees. The law of the Lord is sweeter also than honey, even the drippings of the honeycomb. So when you break off that honeycomb and you get that fresh honey, the word of God is even better than that. Moreover, by them is your servant warned in keeping them. There's that doing again. Hear, listen, do. Be doers of the word, not hearers only. in keeping them, there is what? Great reward. There's blessed. He is blessed who keeps the word of God, who keeps, walks in his ways. So, we're blessed in obedience. The one who looks at the perfect law and perseveres. There's that idea of continuing in it. Not just walking away, but saying, you know what, I'm setting my mind and asking the Lord to help me with this because I want to get this right. I don't want to just walk off and let it go away, but perseveres. The one being a doer who acts, called to be a doer who acts, not just a hearer. Now, I want to be careful with that word acts. We're not pretending. James is not telling us to pretend to do what's right. He's talking more about a call to action. Like, if he says, stand up, to actually stand up. Right? A call to action. So the one who acts, he says in verse 25, he will be blessed in his doing. He'll be blessed in his doing, not merely behavioral modification. I promise you that we will never, as long as I know, Pastor Byron and I will never, ever preach behavioral modification. Just change your behavior and you'll be good. No. This is about a relationship with the living God. And when you have a true relationship with the living God, He changes you. He changes you. He calls you to do these things, and He changes you. So this is not behavioral modification. The Holy Spirit convicts, and true submission to the Holy Spirit is what changes us. So this does not mean, obviously, that everything is just going to go right in our lives. The blessings, we learned all about that last week, right? And I'll tell you, this week has been a rough one for me. We even had car trouble this week that I still have to go kind of try to figure out. It's like, all right, I'm going to learn my lessons. I'm going to grow through this. I'm going to mature in my walk. It doesn't, blessings from God does not mean everything's just going to be rosy. Everything's just going to be okay. Everything's just going to go perfectly. But the blessing, he tells us, is in the doing. He tells us, being no hearer in verse 25, who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. So as we serve him, as we do the things he calls us to do, he blesses us. Take a look with me, Psalm 1. We'll read verses 1 to 3. One of the blessings we get as we do, as we follow him, as we trust him, is we grow. We grow in our relationship with him. We grow in our walk. We grow in our faith. We grow. In Psalm 1, the psalmist is telling us about two different kinds of people. The blessed man and the wicked man. We're just going to talk about the blessed man today, though, because blessed is the man in verse 1 who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, who stands, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. Blessed is the man who is not pursuing the things of this world, who's hanging out with people that they shouldn't be hanging out with and participating in it. There's a difference in going to tell people about Jesus, who need to hear about Jesus, and being one of them. The blessed man is not one of them. But his delight, verse 2, is what? It's in the law of the Lord. Do we delight in the law of the Lord? Do we enjoy the law of the Lord? And on his law, he meditates both day and night. Now, that word meditate there is not like Easter meditation where you just empty yourself of everything. Like you empty your mind. That is not what the psalmist is saying here. When he says meditate on it, he means chew on it. Like the cow chews on the curd. Chew on it. Spend time in it. look at it, read it more, think about it, read it again, pray through it. The blessed man meditates on the law day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. And all that he does, he prospers. Again, this doesn't mean everything goes perfectly. It means that he is growing. He is developing fruit. In other words, people can see the effects of the word of God in his life. Do you see that? Fruit trees are supposed to produce fruit. If they don't produce fruit, there's something wrong with them. Perhaps they're not getting enough sun. Perhaps they're not getting enough water. Perhaps the soil is nutrient deficient. But we're told here to be like a tree, meditate in the word of God, like a tree near streams of water. This tree is growing. It's providing fruit. People could see Christ in them. So he delights in the law of the Lord, the blessed man. He meditates on it day and night. He absorbs it. He absorbs the water of the word, and he grows. This man is blessed by God. So do you see, when we come here to hear the word of God, we're not coming here merely just to hear it, punch our ticket, do our duty, and go on. But we're challenged by the word of God to grow. Do you want to grow? If you want to grow and you want to be blessed, then hear the word of God, meditate on it, spend time in it, not just once a week. Guess what? You could have one of these if you don't have one already. If you don't have a Bible, I'll give you a Bible. If you figure you'll leave it somewhere or lose it somewhere and you have a smartphone, you could download a number of apps with the Bible on it. There's Bible apps that read to you. In fact, a lot of my morning time when I'm reading through the Bible in the year, Gail and I both do this, she gave me the idea, we listen to it in a different translation even. And that way we're hearing it and we're reading along with it and we're getting it more. Spend time meditating on the law of the Lord, the word of God. It frees you. It gives you life. Be doers of the word and not hearers only, James tells us. The blessing is in the hearing and in the doing. So again, some of you here today may not be there. This might just not make a whole lot of sense to you because you don't have a true relationship with Jesus. In a moment, after I pray, we're going to have a time where Andrew and Brett will come back up here and play some music. You'll all be standing. You can do business with God right there in your seat. Gail and I will be right up front here to receive you in prayer. You can come up here and pray with us. Again, it doesn't have to just be for salvation. It could be to share something that you need prayer with or for, or it could be to rejoice and praise God. And we'll praise God right there with you. If you're a lady and you want to pray privately, my wife will step to the side and she'll pray with you. Don't be afraid. But some of you may just be really struggling through, you know Christ. You know the word of God. You have lots of knowledge. You even had a moment where you surrendered your life to him, but you're struggling. He wants us to seek him, to surrender to him, to trust him. Hebrews 11:6 says, and without faith, it is impossible to please him. We can't please him by our works. I want you to know that. Being a doer of the word and not a hearer only is not about pleasing him through our works, earning our way. It's about having that relationship with him. And he says, for whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. He will bring blessings to you as you seek him. Again, it doesn't mean an easy path, but you will be blessed. The Bible tells us. So draw near to him in faith, church family, online. Allow the Holy Spirit every time you get into the Word of God, on your own, here, on Wednesday nights. Allow the Holy Spirit to convict you. And if you forget, if you honestly just walk away and forget, guess what? The sermons, the Wednesday night teachings, they're all online. You can find them on YouTube, Facebook, and our website. We really are without excuse. We are a spoiled people, and we have lots of access to lots of ways to grow close to God. So do it. Seek Him. Our heart for you is to truly know Jesus as Lord and Savior. And our challenge to you is to be doers of the word, not just hearers. Don't just come and fill seats. Don't just tune in, but truly seek Him with everything. And He will reward you. He will bless you through His word. Act on it. Again, this is about a relationship with the living God. It's not about doing things to please God. It's about working on a relationship with Him. And so I challenge you, trust Him. The Holy Spirit convicts you of something, act upon it. Not for my sake, not for anybody's sake, but for your walk with the Lord. Let's pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, I do thank you, God, for the opportunity to be in your word today. I thank you, Lord, for the word that you've given us today, that you genuinely want us to know you, to have a real relationship with you. And Lord, you acted in love and made the way possible through your son, Jesus, who died on the cross and paid the penalty for my sin, for our sin, for those who would put their faith and trust in Jesus. And so, Lord, I ask you to bring those who don't know you today to you. And Lord, if people, whether they're here or online, Lord, that they would truly surrender to you. And Lord, that they may even let us know so that we can continue to pray for them and equip them and strengthen them and help them, Lord, through your word. Lord, I pray that you would work in the lives of every single person sitting here today and online listening, and in the future who will listen and watch. Lord, that you would bring about true change in each of our lives through the power of the living word, the mirror that reveals to us the things that we need to work on, but the things that we can't do on our own, that we need your spirit to do for us. Lord God, Heavenly Father, Lord, work in the people here today. Bring about true change that you, O God, would be glorified. We do these things in your Son's name, the name above all names, Jesus Christ. Amen. So now we'll have a time of response as we sing.